Welcome to Embracing the Muse. I'm your host, Sally Jean Fox, the author of Meeting the Muse After Midlife. And I'm on a quest to discover and understand how we can live our richest, most meaningful, and creative lives at any age, and especially as we age. And I'll be interviewing island creatives to discover what they can share with us about the highs and lows, ups and downs, and possibilities of living and sustaining a creative life. Hi, friends. I have some great creative colleagues lined up for future interviews, but today I'm going to take a pause and share a story from my own life. Have you ever wondered if you have enough, quote, talent to pursue a creative path that calls to you? Maybe it's writing, painting, singing, or fixing bicycles, all of which can be part of your creative expression. Well, I've got some good news, because for most of us, talent doesn't matter. Talent is something that others bestow on you, that others say about you. But what really counts is what we do, those of us who have the joy, the commitment, the desire to do something. And what we can do is practice. So in my book, practice counts more than talent. Practice is like a gift that we give ourselves. And I'm a living proof, because for years I thought I had no art talent and absolutely no talent for drawing. I don't know if any of you remember those days when you were asked to draw rabbits and ducks and back in grade school, and mine, oh my God, I would have failed stick drawing. They would have sent me to remedial stick drawing. The only thing I could possibly do was a horse, because I happened to be obsessed with horses. But draw anything else? No way. So, of course, I didn't do very well in art, and it was the end of story. I can't draw. I have no talent for drawing, and because I have no talent for drawing, I have no talent for art. And nobody told me the hidden key, which is drawing is a skill, and it's a skill that anybody can learn if you have a desire to learn it, and that's a big if. So here it is, 2025, and guess what? I'm drawing, and I have drawn a sketch every day for 140 days since January 1st of 2025, which is remarkable. And I'm not saying that they're good. Most of them are really pretty poor, but I am drawing, and I've adopted drawing as a practice that's useful to my life. So why are you drawing, you might ask, if it's so hard for you? Well, it's not about being accurate and rendering the perfect bird that people will want to see put up on their walls. I can't do that yet. But I have my own reasons for drawing. And number one, drawing opens me to the world. When I set out to draw, I have to observe the world. And a lot of times people like me think that they can't draw because they haven't taken the time to really observe what's in front of them. So for example, I love birds. I love birdsong. I've listened to birds all my life, and I have a vague idea of what makes a bird. I mean, I can recognize them. I know a robin from a sparrow. But when you ask me to draw it, I have to remember what it actually looks like. And I fall flat because I'm like, well, where does the wing go? And where do the feet go? And how does the beak start? All these questions that make me know that I've never really looked at a bird. So guess what? When I start to draw a bird, it forces me to look at birds. And I start seeing birds in new ways. I start actually observing them. And that's the gift. I think that's the biggest gift of learning to draw or sketch, is it invites us to see the world in new ways, to see the world not just from our concepts of the world, like I have an idea of a bird, I have an idea of a sparrow versus a robin, but actually to see what's in front of us. It's an enormous transformative gift, and I am so hungry for it. It's beyond words. And for someone who lives her life out of a lot of words, this is a great gift for me. Okay, number two, drawing calms me down. When I'm drawing, I'm not in that verbal part of my head that's always trying to figure out things. The part that spends a lot of her time worrying, I'm in a calmer, centered, observant spot where it's just me, the pencil, the paper, and maybe the thing that I'm trying to draw, whether it's from somebody else's sketch or something I see in front of me. I find calming. I find drawing is calming and relaxing. And so that's also part of why I do it. It's kind of like a neurological reset for me, especially during these times that can be so fast-paced and upsetting. And the third is drawing is useful to my art practice. I'm doing acrylics, and someday I may want to be able to paint that bird as part of my painting, but not for now, because that's getting ahead of myself. And finally, by drawing, I have a way of taking agency. It's like I'm saying to myself, you know that old message that you can't draw? Well, it's not true. And I'm going to prove it by picking up a pencil. So those are my reasons for drawing. This is Sally Jean Fox on Embracing the Muse. And today I'm talking about talent versus practice when it comes to living your most creative life. And I'd wanted to draw for a long time before I really started. But I found it hard to do. I mean, I actually bought some books on drawing, and I read Betty Edwards' Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain, which is a great book with a lot of wonderful exercises. But here's the deal for me. It's really hard for me to sit by myself and start doing something that I consider to be hard. So my first place to start was in a class. And I was really fortunate because on my bookshelf from years ago was this book called Drawing is a Sacred Activity by a woman named Heather Williams. I loved the title of that book, and I barely read it. But when I started getting curious about drawing, I picked it up and I saw Heather Williams. I saw her bio, and I found her on the internet, and I learned that she was doing these interesting, very reasonably priced classes, and I signed up for one with a certain apology, like, Heather, I'm really sorry, I can't draw, but I want to take your class. And she laughed, she was good-hearted, and I never looked back. She never made me feel wrong that I, quote, didn't know how to draw. And then the second thing I did was to take a class with our wonderful Bruce Morser, from Vashon Island. He's a world-renowned illustrator and artist and an absolutely fabulous teacher. And so during the pandemic, I started sketching with Bruce in his online class, which was great for me because he couldn't see what I was doing and I barely had to show my work, which I deemed to be mostly terrible, but that was okay. It was so much fun working with Bruce. So much fun that two or so years later, I took his class in person, brought my husband. We didn't have to hide out on Zoom anymore. And I found that class to be wonderful and even better in person because Bruce doesn't believe in talent either. Oh, sure. He could probably discern who's got superior skills and he could probably use that word, but he believes just like Heather does, like a lot of great drawing instructors do, that drawing is a sketch. Drawing is a skill you can learn if you want to. An operant word, if you want to. If you have the desire, you can learn to draw. And it can be terribly fun. And Bruce always makes it terribly fun. I love him for that. So I started in the classes. And then this year, and this is a piece that I shared with the Beachcomber, I started in a program online with the maestro extraordinaire of You Can All Draw, Wendy McNaughton. She runs this program called Draw Together that she started for kids until grown-ups started beating down the hatch to be able to do her work as well. Because Wendy is just this fire of vitality, who believes that everybody can draw and that we should draw because it's a way of bringing us together. You draw together. And to do that, on her Substack, her online platform on Substack, she offers a quote challenge every January to her paid subscribers. She gives you prompts and oodles of motivation for 30 days to do one thing. Draw each day for 10 minutes, preferably according to the prompts she gives us, but it's not a necessity. So I took her prompts, which started, and you can believe this, with drawing a line and drawing a dot, which I actually could do. And I drew 10 minutes a day for 30 days. And you know what the most remarkable thing about working with the magnificent Wendy McNaughton? After 30 days, I realized this was fun and I could continue. And not only that, but I wasn't scared about drawing. Because Wendy invites you to draw anything, to make ugly drawings, and the more the better, especially within the 10-minute limit that she gives you every day. You don't have to be a perfectionist. And some of her folks are professional artists, and some are people like me who can, you know, are trying to make it up to bird wing. We're not there yet, but it doesn't matter. It's hugely fun. So after 30 days, I had developed a rhythm. And more than that, I had developed a practice and I wanted to keep going. So I made a vow to myself. I wanted to draw for another 100 days. And a 100-day project is its own device, for lack of a better word. And if you want to find out more about 100-day projects, go to Saliqa Jaoud, who has written a lot about it on her Substack called The Isolation Journals. And she's just come out with a marvelous new book. She helped save her own life when she had cancer by picking up a project that she could do for 100 days and doing it. I think her first project was writing. And she talks about how that project helped her to keep going at the most god-awful, miserable time of her life. So she offers it as a method, and I gobbled it up and applied it to my art. This is Sally Jean Fox on Embracing the Muse, and today I'm talking about talent versus practice when it comes to living your most creative life. So back to talent. You could say to me that telling the world to forget about talent is like sour grapes. Because after all, when I was growing up, I did not consider myself talented, nor did any of my teachers in the area of art. But again, here's the deal. Talent is something other people say about us. It has little to do with our inner spirit, our commitment, our desire, and our capacity to persevere. So who would you choose if you were going to put some odds on who is going to develop themselves as an artist, drawer, singer, whatever? Somebody who sat in a corner and said, I have talent. I have so much talent. Or somebody who said, you know, I don't know if I have talent or not, but I'm going to get going and I'm going to learn something about this and do it every day. Well, I'm voting on the latter. Now, it is true that if you're aiming to audition at the Metropolitan Opera or get your art installed at the Museum of Modern Art in New York City, it's good if other people acknowledge that you have talent, as long as you also have those other qualities: determination, desire, commitment, perseverance, and a willingness to go the long haul, which I guess is perseverance. So in those cases, it's good that you have talent, but I'm really talking about the rest of us who want to engage our own spirits, who want to expand our souls, who want to be happy, who want to find joy, who want to find a path forward in a pretty crazy world. For us, I say forget about talent. and start practicing. So I've been practicing now for 110 more days. And am I good? I'd have to say, frankly, not really. Am I better? Yes, I am. Am I getting better? Yes, I am. Am I improving every week? Yes, I am. So I'll give you four questions that I've used in looking at my own practice. Not am I talented, but did I have fun? What did I learn? What about this sketch I did? Do I like? And four, what can I take from this experience of sketching into the next? Those four questions keep me going. And the remarkable thing is that those old messages that I have carried, and I tell you, I've been carrying them for 60 plus years, have begun to fade. You know, I remember the teacher who came up and said, "Is that a duck? That's not a duck." And at that point, I knew that not only could I not draw ducks, but I really couldn't draw anything. That message has begun to fade. Because I know I can't draw a duck today, but if you give me enough time, maybe next week I could draw a duck. And the reason I'm offering this to you and the reason I'm speaking at all is that I think almost every one of us carries a message like my "I can't draw a duck." Some teacher told us, and for a lot of us, it was somewhere around the years 7 to 10 years old, that we couldn't draw. Our art didn't look like it was supposed to look like. When we sang, we didn't sound right. And that can sound like, you can't carry a tune. You're off pitch. You'll never sing. We were uncoordinated, which might have taken the form of, you can't dribble a ball, or you'll never be able to dance. Those messages about not making art, not singing, not dancing, not being able to create with building blocks, I wasn't very good at that either, unfortunately stick with us for the rest of our lives. And the sad part is that they were never true. So the cure is not to try and fix ourselves. I mean, those messages have set in. They'll probably always be there. The cure is to do something like have a practice that will prove them wrong. I mean, I know people who were told they can never sing, they could never carry a tune, they don't have pitch. But they've been able to work with teachers who helped them find a way forward. And I had my experience with Bruce Morser and Heather Williams and others that have shown me that, yeah, I'm on my way. Someday I'll be able to draw. And as for dancing, I totally believe, and I'm in Zumba, and I even see this, that if you can move, if you can walk, as the Africans say, you can dance. It's just a matter of believing and then moving a few muscles. So we all have messages that we can let go of. And why bother? So we can become more us, so that we can expand, so that we can grow, so that we can see the world with new eyes, so that we can find what our bodies are capable of, and so that we don't have to surrender to the false beliefs that were never true but have haunted us all our lives. So in the face of that, my message to you is forget talent. Talent's probably too embedded in those old messages of what we could or couldn't do. Instead, claim your right to create in any way that calls to you, in any way that has your soul being even a little bit curious, in any way that you find desire, and then go do it for at least 30 days and you'll start getting the habit rolling. And if you like it, move on to 100. Because in the end, practice is the thing that will get you moving forward. And practice is the thing I believe in. So go to. And I'll be back next week with another interview with a fabulous Vashon creative. Thanks so much for listening. I look forward to being back soon and bringing you another conversation with an island creative who can show you how it's possible to embrace your muse and live your richest and most creative life. Till then, thanks for joining us, and thanks to Voice of Vashon 101.9 FM for hosting this show. I'm your host, Sally Fox, and I look forward to being with you soon.